This is Graham Atwell welcoming you to a Sounds of the Bizarre podcast special on personal learning environments. The following presentation is one of a series of five presentations at a symposium at the Second World Congress on the Information Society held in Crete. In this presentation, Christina Costa looks at communities of practice and learning.
My presentation is actually a combination of two presentations because our other colleague couldn't come. So I'll be presenting also on behalf of Ashley Ely and then on behalf of myself as well. So the first part actually is part of the work that Ashley has been doing for our own PhD. And is focusing on communities of practice to support social learning in distance programs. And what Ashley defines as social learning is the trajectory of the process of not knowing to knowing, but supported by some human interaction. So it's not it's kind of getting away from the traditional distance programs where you get your pack, you get everything in a in the mailbox, and you learn autonomously, but also in a more isolated way. And she tried to combine that with the concept of communities of practice, which I don't know if you're aware of it. It's in the last 10 years or so, the community of practice become quite a popular topic in education. Now it's more than ever being associated with also with online learning and distance programs and trying to kind of bridge this kind of gap between learning and being isolated. Who initially brought this this topic was Etienne Wenger and Jean Leave. And they didn't actually focus on online communities, but rather on communities of face to face, both on companies and also in the more traditional settings, like in developing countries, where the shoemaker would accept the apprentice and would guide him to the practice till he became a shoemaker himself. So it's about mentoring people to become what they want to become. So it's about guiding them in their learning. And so this is an aspect that we think it's quite important when stop with the pages. When addressing the distance learning these days. Also, because we have a new addition to the initial distance learning concept, which is technology, which we now can use to bring the social aspect into learning. And the technology is shaping a new generation, not only of distance learning, but learning in general. Is opening up our world in terms of accessing information, of making sense of that information, and actually constructing new knowledge. So there's new challenge for educators, because there's new demands from the people that are using these technologies, from what they expect, the way they learn, but there's also a lot of barriers. And we start with the students' barriers, because everyone talks about all of these techs that Ricardo was talking about, the digital natives, that the students all want technology. That's really not always the case. Some students don't have the motivation, some students are not that skilled, some students cannot afford it. So there are some barriers that we have to overcome and kind of try to address. And there's some staff barriers also. Some of them imposed by the institution, which puts everything in closed doors. Some imposed by us, by the lack of skills, that they weren't actually trained to use this kind of approach. And also the lack of a policy and some kind of freedom, as we were talking in the other sessions, on accepting new ways of teaching and learning, of accepting creativity in the way we do things. So how can communities of practice help? And in the paper that Ashley wrote and the research that she has been doing, the communities can help both teachers and students the students in the way that they can come together to learn and augment all of the content that is provided by the institution, and the teachers by providing them with new contexts that they can learn themselves before they can mentor their own students. So, and that takes us to my own part of the talk, which is providing you an example. I'm not going to focus on the students themselves, but I'm going to focus on the educators as students. So how it's important that the educators themselves put themselves in the shoes of the students to understand how can they bring this kind of innovation or these new approaches into the classroom, and especially in distance programs, to assist them with new ways of learning. Because we need to face these new challenges. And here I kind of want to say, although this I know this seems a little bit arrogant, that we are on the Knowledge Society Summit, but I would like to say that we are the Knowing Society. We are a society in progress that for us is more relevant these days, knowing how to know, than the knowledge that we actually have. Because everything is so rapid and so emergent that we need to be prepared to always facing these new challenges. I'm just going to flip to this because am I running late? Yeah? Okay. So again, and this brings us back to the session that we were before this one on creativity and how we need to be open to the change, because the change changes too. We all have phones these days, we all use these technologies, but then when we think about teaching, we don't want to actually introduce them most times. Because probably we're afraid of breaking some rules of not doing so well as we are used to do in our own practice, in our own comfort. So the other thing that a lot of literature says is that technology and all this change is changing us. There's a shift in education. Everyone goes from teacher-centered to student-centered. But is it really so? And if so, where is this happening? Is it inside the classroom or is it outside the classroom? What is happening? Are we actually giving students the freedom to learn? Are we learning also in our own way, or are we just relying on the official training that we are provided with? And how are these changes happening? So this is a lot of questions, more questions I have than actually answers. But and these were the questions that I was asking myself when I started teaching and I needed to kind of innovate. How am I going to go from here if I want to change, if I want to be part of this shift? And everyone says there's a good thing, there's technology, there's this virtual learning environment. And this is a very, when I wrote this, I was having in mind especially the British context, where VLE, virtual learning environment, means a platform, but it can mean actually also any kind of tool that you use. And the people that I work with, sometimes say, but I put my stuff on the VLE. There's, you know, my stuff is there, so why don't my students engage with it? It's a VLE, it's a virtual learning environment, so it should work. What they don't realize is that it's a virtual thing. The environment is not there, because the environment, it's up to the people to construct it. It's up to the people to develop it. And sometimes you get a little bit overwhelmed by these technologies, by all this shift, because everything is so new, is so nice, and so fancy. But and that's where I think then we need to kind of engage through the shoes of our students. We need to walk we have to put ourselves in their shoes to see what works. Hmm? 2 minutes, oh my God. Okay, so I'm going to skip this one. So what I bring you here then is my own case of how I try to put myself on my student's shoes, and how I found a great place to do that, and how I found an environment that I became part of that environment, and that I also contribute to that own environment. And this is a community of practice, is a community of teachers of English as a second language that operate online. All around the world, and they congregate because they have the same needs as I do. They don't have enough support from institutions. They need to engage their students differently because the students are not paying attention and not learning the way they should or the way they expect them to learn. And also because these are language teachers and they want to create new ways and support their also, not only their own learning, but the students' learning in a continuous way so that they can actually continue learning when they leave the classroom. And the web is a great place to do that, especially with language is concerned, because most of it is written in English. So there's a lot of English content that they can access and produce as well. So the web has an action. It's not a tool. It's not a virtual learning environment. It's people that are distributed online. They come together to learn with each other, to share their practices, to answer questions. We have two mottos. One of them is, I share to learn, and I learn to share. So there's a two-way road. There's communication. There's a support. And then the other one, which is for most people very naive, but makes a lot of sense for us, is sharing is caring. Because if we share, it means that we're caring for people. And above all, the environment is about creating an environment where people can actually see that they're supported and they're welcome. I know, okay, I'm going. So this is the growing role of online communities. It's a way of supporting social learning, but it's also a way of supporting lifelong learning. It's a way of giving people not only tools, but, or if you want, tools for their own learning, not tools for the sake of tools. And the importance of technologies is only about bridging people. It's not about overwhelming people with new buttons that you can push, new things that look nice online. And I just, because, as I said, this always raises more questions than answers, I'll just, I always like to kind of finish with some quotes from people that inspire me, and I think that also this learning online is about having people that can inspire you and that you can inspire back. So these are my some quotes that I think are quite relevant. The first one is about what it means when you first come on the web. Actually, this is a quote from a Portuguese poet, and he wasn't referred to the web, but he was referring to the Coca-Cola when it first came. And he said, at first it was unfamiliar, but then it kind of strike root. It means you get used to it, and it becomes part of what you are and of your practice. And the other one, you know. So it's there's really not a way. There's a lot of ways, but you have to find your own. Basically, that's what it means. And the last one was about community. That community actually, or the use of ICT and technology is about community, communication, and care. So that's, I think, sums up well what an environment is. An environment is not a tool. Basically, this is the message that we want to kind of send with this.
Sounds of the Bazaar was recorded live in Crete. It was engineered in the Pontedusky Studios. Sounds of the Bazaar is released under a Creative Commons license.